Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You just tried to get a couple of laughs. So you might hit a friend, jump off a building, but you weren't doing something that was trying to go viral on the internet. The psychology of getting something to go viral, particularly at this really impressionable age group of kids in their teens, is really hard for me to understand, because everything you're doing is just to try and get it to this audience that you don't know, even when you knowingly put yourself in harm.
Well, there can't be anyone in America that thinks that eating laundry detergent is good.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Yes, raise your hand if you think that eating laundry detergent is good for you.
I just want to say that reminds me of a picture I saw at the marches this weekend. Someone was holding a sign that
said, "Eat laundry detergent?
Trump eats Tide Pods."
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was funny. So,
that's the voice of Gary Braun. Chris Saliza is here as well. You heard Michael Kornheiser's voice. Nigel will run the board. Michael Wilbon will be on. I am better, thank you, though not good.
I received
a bunch of tissues from Kay Brad and Carter Craig in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we have opened them. They're Puffs, not Puff Daddy. They are Puffs.
Puffs.
Very happy about that. I hope not to use as many as I've been using before.
Those are Premier tissues.
Those are
really good.
Yeah,
that looks nice.
The Baker family, right? The Bakers? Is that what it is? The Craig family.
The fabulous Baker family.
I see the unmistakable 32-point font of a text thread
okay,
on your phone.
Okay, so this is important now.
One word a screen?
Yeah, it's just about.
All right, Chris.
Look at it. Show Chris. Just point your phone at Chris.
Let me see it real quick.
Everybody makes fun of Tony.
So good.
That's the subtext of the show.
You. We kid because
you
we love.
Are political for a living on CNN.
That is accurate.
How long, just briefly, we'll get to the
shut
football.
Down. Yeah,
how
yeah,
long
yeah.
will it take?
So there's a vote at noon. I think as of right now, it will fail. The vote is essentially a yes means the government will reopen and no means it won't. I think they will. They need 60 votes. They have 50-ish right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay.
They need 9 Democrats.
Not going to get it?
I'm very skeptical.
So you think it goes through the day?
I do.
This is to set up something else. You think it goes through the day?
Yeah, I think it
and
does.
And into tomorrow.
I do. I mean, I just at late last night, late-ish last night, 9 o'clock. Mitch McConnell went on the Senate floor and essentially said, "Look, if you guys vote to reopen the government, I will, after we do a few things here or there, I will bring up DACA before February 8th. I will bring up the immigration bill before February 8th, and to try to entice Democrats to vote for it. The issue is, do they trust him, and what does my intention to bring it up mean?
So I don't think it's going to go today. Okay. So having talked with the new management team at Chatter, and we are at Chatter, where we are open for breakfast starting at 7 in the morning when this show runs. We're at the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin Street in Friendship Heights in D.C. The new managerial team put out this, the furlough breakfast.
Oh.
For $5, 2 eggs, toast, breakfast potatoes, choice of bacon or sausage, coffee or juice.
Wow.
That is less money than all the other people are paying here because you need to just show, this is until the government reopens, show a government ID and get the furlough breakfast at Chatter.
Great deal, $5 breakfast.
That is, it's better than
can't do that
I'm doing.
At fast food.
No, it's really good.
Yeah.
So
I prefer it free.
Well, it's not free.
Oh.
We talked about it last night, and somebody here does work for the government and does have a government ID. I don't know if she actually availed herself of this breakfast. But you can come in.
Can she avail me of the breakfast?
You cannot have any breakfast.
Now, let me just say.
No soup for you.
I would like to ask Chris, since we just got his detailed breakdown, where you were, and I say this honestly not remembering. I'm not trying to out you.
Uh-huh.
Where you were at this time Friday. Were you saying it was going to shut down, or were you saying they would work something out?
I think they asked me Friday morning, and I said 60-40, they make a deal, like at Friday at 8 a.m. But, I mean, they're not, by the way, nailed it on that one. Yeah. So, I mean, they're not that far away. It's just Democrats don't want Democrats. This is the you have so little ability if you're in the minority party now to exert real influence. And this is a time where Democrats believe they can exert real influence.
Let me tell you, you cannot exert any influence now. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minnesota Vikings. As I take the show back.
That's called
before we drift off into some part of the culture that nobody wants to hear.
DACA stands for the deferred action for child arrivals.
I was only doing this to talk about
the
furlough breakfast when Gary decided to hijack the show.
That was interesting.
New England wins, Philadelphia wins. We're not going to talk much about Philadelphia because there's no point. Because they won in a giant way. They gave up the first touchdown of the game and then did nothing wrong. Right. And we'll get to them eventually. The greater game by far was New England. And we could sit here and talk about the inevitability of that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think it was inevitable. I was texting back and forth with Brian Polian, who, differently than anybody sitting at this panel, is paid to be a football coach. And I said...
Doesn't he have a brother who's...
Andy Polian?
Chris? No, not his brother, is it? Chris is in the front office of the Jaguars, I think.
I have no idea.
Okay.
That's what I don't know.
I think you're right about that.
Okay. I don't know that. I thought, and I told him, particularly in the third quarter, when Deion Lewis gave up the ball, and Jacksonville just snatched it out of his body and was denied the ability to run down the field, which they should have been.
Should have been a Jacksonville touchdown.
That's right. Yeah, at that point, I said to him, you know what? I watched this entire first half, and Jacksonville made it look so easy. They stopped New England all the time, with the exception of the great late drive, which in hindsight helps turn the game around, where New England scores a touchdown, courtesy of a couple of penalties. And by the way, there's a part of me which wonders, in the Rob Gronkowski thing, if there shouldn't be NHL justice in this, which is when a guy goes out and is gone for X amount of time, the offending party goes out for X amount of time as well. But that's for another day. New England scores, and still, in the beginning of the third quarter, Jacksonville is handling them. Jacksonville is running almost at will. Blake Bortles, I'm lost at the criticism of Blake Bortles at this point in the game because he's finding whatever he has to find, and the offensive line clearly of the Jacksonville Jaguars is dominating the game. And I text him, I go, this game's over. I mean, I really believe Jacksonville is going to win. New England coming back, and I will shut up after this. Danny Amendola, who is always pretty good, but always hurt. Danny Amendola misses half the games he's eligible for. Not as many as Sam Bradford, but he misses a lot of games. Danny Amendola becomes, in this game, Julian Edelman, who has been gone for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Another small, little, tough guy. Danny Amendola, punt returns, flare patterns, touchdowns in the end zone, the last one right at the back of the end zone. And you watch this,
unbelievable.
And it is not possible to say anything other than, my God, Tom Brady really is that good. Yep. He really is that good.
First, just closing the loop on Chris Polian. He is the current director of player personnel for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Then that hurt him, although his personnel was good.
I don't know what to add. 100% on Amendola. You left out completions when listing all of the things.
Yeah.
By the way, how about the execution of that play? I mean, you see that play all the time. They throw it behind the line of scrimmage. The guy cocks his arm. He throws it. In that case, they throw it behind the line of scrimmage. He ran toward the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
He really, really sold that as a wide receiver screen. And that actually was on the Miles Jack play.
That was the reception by Deion Lewis.
But
proud Blair graduate, by the way. Blair
so I had the unfortunate circumstance of watching that game knowing the outcome because I was out at kids' stuff all day,
right.
So I knew the score. So I unfortunately was robbed of the feeling you must have had at 20 to 10 in the fourth quarter, thinking Jacksonville's going to win this thing.
And by the way, I felt and feel that would have been very bad for the NFL. This is a ghost franchise.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nobody has any allegiance to Jacksonville. They're the team that's sent to London five times a year. You don't know anybody on the team.
No.
If you put them in and not the Patriots,
them versus
that's
the Patriots.
Well, that's probably why the refs rigged
yeah.
it.
Yep.
I kid. But so to me, knowing that, it was a little bit jaded. I just felt like a lot of stuff happened, and then Tom Brady decided, let's go
Chris,
win
Chris, you saw it in real time as I did, as Michael did?
It was 20 to. I think we have a tendency to, despite the fact that we all acknowledge the greatness of Brady and Belichick, we still have a tendency to sort of underestimate it. I mean, it was 20 to 10, and I thought to myself, they're still going to win. I don't know how.
I did not. I didn't.
I feel like I just feel like when you're watching them, you're watching sort of inevitability. I know they have lost. I know they've lost to the Steelers. I know they've lost to the Giants. But it just feels like, and then when they got the touchdown, I thought, well, you know, he's throwing it basically to one guy. Gary and I were talking about the off air. He's basically throwing it. So Gronkowski is out.
He's
they
out.
Have no Edelman.
That's
he has essentially ceased throwing it to Brandon Cooks. So he's now throwing
it
to
Cooks dropped a couple.
He had some big catches late though to earn some of that back.
But he is now essentially dropping back and throwing it to a guy who
is 5'8"
uncoverable.
I mean, Brady's greatness to me. I would just look this up because I wanted to see. Gary and I were talking off air, and I said, you know, and they also have no running game. So they ran for a total of 46 yards.
No, it's Brady.
46.
But there's for the else. First down to end the game.
That's true. They got what they need. But my point is, it's like, you know what's coming. And he's not, he is, I do not like them. I was rooting against them solely because I love to see the Belichick reaction faces when things go bad. But
when things go good, he just hands the trophy to someone else.
That was
he
great.
Doesn't care about the trophy.
But they're just...
But it's more than just... And I'm going to dwell on Brady.
I mean...
There's a great series of defensive plays when Jacksonville gets the ball back. There's a sack. Mm-hmm. There is the... Is it...
They go to 3rd and 19.
Well, they Gilmore, it was the
3rd and 18.
Yeah, 3rd and 18.
When
right.
Gilmore on the 4th down play makes the great...
That was a phenomenal
backhanded
play.
Swat of the ball. Blake Bortles, who had been so good, was ineffective late. Matt Patricia did something at halftime, and they were much better there.
Yep.
And here is, I don't know if people think about this. I do. This is 8 Super Bowls for Brady. Mm. I think that now ties Brady alone with the Steelers for the most Super Bowl appearances over a 52-year period. I believe they have 8.
Tone, isn't it 8? Is this just 8 for 8 in, I believe 18? This is right, his 16 years as a starter.
It's just,
every other year he's going to the Super Bowl. I mean, think about that.
It's unbelievable. He's and Tony Romo, and I like Tony Romo on television a lot, and I thought that Tony Romo was partial to the Jaguars a little bit, not much, but a little bit. But there was a point where Brady got the ball and he said, "He's the GOAT. Let's pay attention now," because quarterbacks, everybody understands, this guy's the best. And by the way, that is not a made-up injury. He had an injured right hand, his throwing hand.
They said he had a ligament sprain in his thumb, for what it's worth, and a cut.
Did you see Belichick on that in the postgame?
Oh.
It started at the end of the first half after New England gets the touchdown, and you see
very
Jacksonville
important.
Just happily go into the locker room.
Yeah, right.
And you want to try and see if they can put something up or at least still play aggressive. So it looked like they were still playing for Tom Brady not to come back, and they held him in the third. But if you looked, as soon as right at the drive where Deion lost the ball, the play calling changed. Their playbook is deeper and more nuanced than everyone else. Some of it is just Brady throwing into the tightest windows, but they are bringing out things that you've never seen before. The throws that Tom was making that led up to that 3rd and 18 play.
To Amendola, what a great play.
No
That's
one
the
else
Edelman
is,
play
no one
from
else
last
is making
year.
Those.
No, I mean, because they have complete confidence
they're
in him.
They're just better.
Third and 18 was big.
I need to mention the other game because it took place, but it was a non-game. Philadelphia relishing the underdog role, which, by the way, they will have again. At the early line is 5.5.
Yep.
5.5. They destroyed Minnesota. It started with the pick 6. And Keenum, you cannot have Case Keenum throw the ball 48 times.
No.
Zimmer did get outcoached by Peterson. He did get outcoached. They had nothing. They had nothing. And Philadelphia won that game so easily. And I think that people forget, having said this a couple of times on PTI last week, people forget how good Philadelphia was other than Carson Wentz. How well they ran the ball, how well they defended. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just stifled Minnesota completely. And this is 6 in a row, I believe, of Minnesota in championship games not getting to the Super Bowl.
6 or 7.
It's, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's amazing that the first drive of the game, it looked like Minnesota had it figured. They just right down.
Well, second drive for them too before the interception.
Before the interception. I mean, they were just and then after that, nothing.
Ajay was just, you know, they're better. They were significantly better.
Yeah.
The best Super Bowl would have been New England against Minnesota, Minnesota as the home team. This is probably the second best. You always wonder, because now there's 2 weeks, you wonder, ooh, can Carson Wentz get back? Ooh, can Julian Edelman? I guess they don't get back. I wonder about Gronkowski. I wonder what the protocol is.
How do you know when Gronk has a concussion?
What's the difference in mental facility?
That's what I was like. How are they going to know if he's...
Wentz is still on a...
Nobody's getting back. These are the teams that you have.
Yes.
And it's not a month like Alabama had to get people healthy. Though, it's 2 weeks.
I mean, Foles
was great.
Outstanding. I mean,
Foles
he was great. Other than Brady...
Foles was 26 of 33 for 350,
right?
352 and 3.
I mean...
He took one sack. His offensive line kept him upright.
I mean,
one sack. Brady, by the way, in the second half, I don't think was sacked. In the second half. I don't know.
Just one other note on Brady. I know I'm obsessed with this. Well, he's 40.
That's right. That's right.
Like, I mean,
that's right.
He's not the Peyton Manning kind of like, okay, just
no,
don't,
he's
don't,
flinging it.
Don't lose it no, for us, right? No. I mean, he's going to be the MVP again.
Should be.
He should be.
And this should be pointed out, because while it may have been very easy to sit in your home at 20-10 in the fourth quarter and think the Patriots were going to lose.
I did.
And that's understandable, I think, based on the way the game was going. The Patriots certainly weren't thinking that on any level. And it's funny because we talked on Friday about how Bill Belichick had totally poo-pooed the value of experience in
that
spot.
Crazy.
But it was on full display there the last 9 minutes of that fourth quarter, because Jacksonville, there is this air of confidence. There's this spirit of just sort of knowing. There's a difference between knowing what you need to do and the ability to just go out
there
and do
it
at will.
They've done it many times. They did it at home.
They expect to do it.
There was a sign that said New England against the rest of the world, and I think that's true. Yeah. I think people hate them, but boy, they are good. They are good. We will take a break. Michael Wilbon will join us and lament. I'm sure he rooted. Well, I don't know that he rooted against Brady. I think he grudgingly respects Brady. When we get back, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Zip Recruiter read. In need of great talent.
I think I can do the reads tomorrow. I'm just not ready to do them today.
I was really looking forward to continuing.
We're good, thanks.
Good team.
Well, I thought you had jury duty tomorrow.
I do have jury duty. Yeah, you can handle them tomorrow.
Thank you.
In need of great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. So they add that some of these notes are bolded, and those are of the highest priority, so I'll try and convey that to you. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them.
It's a twist.
No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, Tony's listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free.
Yes,
you can.
Post them.
Nice.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This presumes that people who listen to me own businesses.
One more time.
I hope that's true.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That was three times.
That was three.
Good, third time you get it for free.
Third time was a charm, if I say so myself.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by a man named T, who says, I'm sending you this song mainly to impress the woman I'm dating. Her name is Makiko. She's written your show a couple of times before. She quotes you on a daily basis, knows most everything about you. If I were you, I'd get a restraining order against her now. Anyhow, my band has since disbanded. It was called Afraid of Figs. The song is Hitchhiking to the Moon. Enjoy, and please bring back the penguin dance as my voice. I thought I was better. I'm not completely better yet. Michael Wilbon joins us now. I'm telling you, I wrote a million questions down, presuming, I know you're going to laugh at this, but I really, really thought that Jacksonville was going to win that game. Deep into the second half, I thought that, and I wondered if you did too.
No.
Really?
No, really? I mean, we just saw this game last year.
Really?
You just saw the Super Bowl. You've seen it. You've seen this game.
But they
times.
Were handling them so easily, and they were running the ball so well, and Bortles didn't look like a terrible quarterback at all.
And did the Atlanta Falcons, did they fit that description too?
Well, Atlanta called plays that enabled New England to get the ball back. I didn't think Jacksonville was doing that.
They weren't. And they played a great game, the Jaguars did. And they hit Tom Brady in the mouth. The one thing we thought would give them a chance, both of us, as skeptical as we were, was the ability to hit Brady. And I think they sacked them three times.
Early,
They had some hurries. They had some hits on them. They did what you have to do defensively to be in that game. They lost the game in the first half. They lost the game when they gave up that easy touchdown.
The touchdown.
With two stupid penalties.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the pass interference penalty, and the guy didn't know where he was, and the ball goes down to the 6-7. And even though Gronk, now I will say this, Gronk being out
hurts so much.
That penalty was worth
it. All of a sudden was throwing a lot of deep balls as opposed to the intermediate passes that actually won the game. The intermediate passes to Amendola won the game, and he just moved away for it from a while. But when they had to have it, Tony, you know, when they had to have the intermediate passes complete, look, they were in peril. There's no question about that.
Yes.
But okay, so they're in peril. So that's what, you know, it's like, to me, this is like reliving in some ways watching the Bulls with Michael Jordan all those years. So what? They're down 7 with 3 minutes to play. They're going to win the game. And the Patriots are going to win the game. When it was a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, I kept saying, Jacksonville's got a real shot. And, of course, they had a real shot. But then, you know that the last postseason game New England played, they were down 10 points in the fourth quarter and won. So why, there's no reason to draw a conclusion other than Patriots are going to win. Until you see
that's right.
The other person's hand raised in the middle of the ring.
I give you that.
The Patriots are going to win the game.
So I'll tell you where I am. So it's 20-10. Gronkowski is out, and he's the single most important player in all of football who's not a quarterback, and he's out. And Deion Lewis gets the ball snatched out of his hand.
Yeah, great play.
And Jacksonville gets the ball, and at that point, I honestly believe this game is over.
Oh, jeez.
I did.
Well, I mean, you're like Wile E. Coyote.
Okay.
I mean, you're Wile E. Coyote. I mean, how many times are you going to get fooled?
Apparently every single time.
Oh, I mean, why?
So then what is our appreciation level of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
I mean,
this is their eighth Super Bowl.
It's confirmed. It's reaffirmed over and over and over and over. I mean, Tony, this team has been in the coffin with its sealed Seattle.
Yes. Yes, Atlanta. Yes. Yes.
I just sat there and said, okay, what? How is it they're going to get out of this?
They're like Houdini, I guess.
You remember their first Super Bowl. They were a huge underdog, right. And the Rams came back and won on the last second.
3rd and 18 to Amendola, who, as we both know, Mike, doesn't play half the games
because
he's hurt.
I think 3rd and 18 was when I knew, of course, they were going to win. Of course. 3rd and 18. How many times you got to see it? You don't have to show it to me that many times.
So what do you it's not just Brady, Stephon Gilmore. That is such a great defensive play on fourth.
Team.
Yeah,
it's for me. It's like reliving watching that. It's Steve Kerr. It's John Paxson. It's whoever is out there at whatever time.
That's right.
There are people who've been retired for 15 years who were part of it in the front end, and then now they're guys who they'll still be playing in some bit way 10 years from now, and they will have been part of it then. I mean, that would be like being suckered into believing that Tom Brady wasn't going to play yesterday. course he was.
Did you? To Mike's point, I'm watching the starting lineups, and on the defensive line for the Patriots, they say, defensive end Ricky Jean Francois, and I'm like, that guy was on the Redskins. He's starting for the. I mean, they just take guys and
James Harrison,
right? I mean, they take guys and make them. It's amazing.
The James Harrison thing is astounding.
The guy's good enough to start on the Patriots, but not good enough to play on the. You know, I mean, it's
yes,
yeah,
yes,
because they're that.
Because
good.
It's coaching, correct?
And they're not stupid. Other teams, even teams that aren't stupid, appear stupid next to the Patriots. Their personnel people, they go out and they get people contribute in this specific way for Bill Belichick. And you know this is coming.
I
don't even understand that. Yesterday wasn't even dramatic to me.
Not only didn't I know it was coming, but I was preparing commentary on the fact that the worst thing that can happen after a bad NFL season was to have Jacksonville in the Super Bowl because nobody relates to them at all. Nobody knows who they are. They're sent to London every week because they're like, it's punishment. You know, it's like detention.
Yes.
You go to London.
And they love it over there. They love you guys.
I mean, they
were a prop. That's what they were yesterday. They were a prop.
Not at any point. You never thought they were going to win. I did.
They were going to win. No, I thought the Patriots are in danger here. They got to make this play. Well, there it is. Well, they got to make this play. Well, there it is.
Were you surprised?
Oh, they got to convert this third down. Oh, there it is.
Were you surprised that Belichick punted as often as he did in the second half? Down.
They weren't fourth and twos in advantageous situations for him. So
right.
By the way,
the Jacksonville field goal kicker kicked a 55-yard field goal by 10 yards.
Yep. Yeah, he
whoa.
He was look, they were
outdoors.
Really they were terrific.
They were.
They were terrific.
They were. They were.
They're not the Patriots.
So what do you make of the other game? Pay attention. I stopped. Yeah, easy.
I mean, I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to want to hear this. I could give a damn about the Super Bowl with New England and Philly.
Really?
I don't care. Of course I'm going to watch it. I don't care. I mean, I just... those are two... Look, the Patriots, I appreciate watching them. I appreciate them. Like, I mean, some other people who don't feel anything but appreciate watching the Spurs. You know? They're a marvel to watch. Do I care? No. I don't root for the Patriots.
Did you think Foles got some measure of redemption? Because he was really good.
He was great.
He was great. Yes, he was.
He's great. And by the way, if Foles beats Tom Brady in 2 weeks, which I don't expect.
Right.
Well, how soon does the conversation start?
About Wentz.
Yeah.
No, because Wentz is better.
Okay, well.
Wentz is better, but Foles will make some money. Right? Foles will.
Not with the Eagles, but yes.
No, yeah, he'll go somewhere and make some money.
Maybe.
I mean, isn't that his move? Isn't that exactly what he did last time where he went to the Rams? Two times in a row.
Wasn't any good.
And nothing happened.
Right.
So, I mean, I know this Super Bowl excites you. They're two Eastern teams, two I-95ers.
No, you know what excites me? No, you're wrong. It's not about, you can say that all you want about I-95. What excites me about it is when you watch Brady, you just say to yourself, they really are the best. He's really the best. He has no Hall of Fame receivers or runners. He's that. And Belichick, who you know I don't like personally. He's the best.
Yeah. And so why were you thinking they had lost the game?
Because Jacksonville was easily manipulating them, it seemed to me.
And Jacksonville has how many Hall of Famers right now?
I don't know. One less than Jalen Ramsey thinks, probably. But I don't know. I don't know. But they had Tom Coughlin, who has beaten this guy before and knew the formula. And for a while, it looked to me like this would advance the mythology of Tom Coughlin. You know what I mean?
He might have done it anyway. I mean, he took a team that was a ragtag, nothing team. And Coughlin, his know-how and leadership, they're already imprinted on that team in 1 year.
Yes. Yes.
So it advances Tom Coughlin's mythology, the mythology of Tom Coughlin. And still, New England was going to win the game. And so they did. The Philly game was a waste of our time.
Yes, it was.
And the only thing was, there was no other live sports yesterday on to go to. In that
window. A little bit of golf. There was a little bit of golf,
yeah,
if you wanted.
It was.
I watched the playoff.
So
I forgot.
Are you happy for Alshon Jeffrey, or just even angrier at the Bears?
Yes, I'm happy for Alshon Jeffrey.
He made a couple of great plays.
Yes, he did. The touchdown catch was a great catch.
By the way, the throw that Foles made to Torrey Smith.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Between two. That was
great
catch. I don't remember that specifically.
That was like, like the fourth touchdown or
Torrey
something.
Torrey Smith dropped one right in the beginning of the game. It was not an easy catch, but it hit him in the hands. Foles right in stride, 50 yards down
Mike,
the field.
you give Philadelphia no chance. You think
no, I give them a chance. I give them more chance than I've given either of the first two opponents, one which, you know, was in position to win the game.
Philly's very much like Jacksonville. In terms of the way
approach,
I mean, even just like look at the numbers of yesterday. Just in terms of the balance, the running game.
That's right. They know how to run.
You know.
Well, the difference is though that Foles goes
with
deep
with Ertz and Jeffrey.
Ertz is great.
Yeah,
great tight end.
You're going to do it? No, I don't. No, and that's part of me. If Minnesota had been in, I would have been interested.
Oh, sure, because it's a better story.
Personal.
Yeah. It's a better storyline.
These things are personal, so. As it is now, Tony, it's like I got 2 weeks of this. 2 weeks of this.
Oh, no. This week we have none of it.
2 weeks of having to hear Philly people, which really got along.
We don't like Philly people.
Is a reason to bail on the U.S.
So, it's a combination of two of the chestiest.
Yeah, it really
fly,
is.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody is from Philadelphia.
I really can't stand it.
And then the Patriots.
Their owner is a good guy. Lori is a good guy.
Two great reports. I'm sorry, Wilbon.
Kraft seems like a good guy too. Literally, Tony, I have moved on to both basketball seasons. I did that last night when it got to.
Was there a ceremony?
7 or something like that.
Some sort of ceremonial.
Turn the TV off and walk away.
So that the two best reports I saw out of Philly yesterday was one prior to the game. They were greasing all the lampposts. In around the stadium and in the city to keep people from climbing them afterwards.
Right.
And
they
the
also
best
preemptively
was
burned all the cars.
The huge fight in the parking lot before game did not involve any Vikings fans. It was Philly fans on Philly fans, and then the police got involved, and they had to apparently bring out the riot police.
What they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to hear all week. So
it's sort of like Maryland fans
it?
Burning the mattresses.
Well, just focus on the Pro Bowl, Wilbon. You don't even have to pay attention until next Monday.
Not just 1 week, either 2 weeks of this.
All right, goodbye. I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. Always happy to be on the show.
Not surprised that New England
Not surprised.
Won.
All right, we'll take a break. We will have news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
A few thought starters for policy genius. Each new year, 30% of people make a resolution to be more financially responsible. Most of those people don't follow through. Being responsible is hard. They ask me to make this my own. So, yes, being responsible is hard.
You're responsible. You're a responsible young man.
I'm a responsible parent.
Not irresponsible, like everyone thinks. Responsible.
I just bought a Lamborghini.
But what if there was a way to make a smart financial decision in as little as 5 minutes?
Well, I would do that.
There is. It's Get Life Insurance.
Oh, not buy a restaurant?
We tell you about it every month. Policy Genius is the easy way to compare and buy life insurance online. They let you compare quotes in just 5 minutes. It's almost unheard of to make a responsible purchase in 5 minutes. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. And they don't just insure life. They insure everything in it. You can compare health insurance, disability insurance, pet insurance, renter's insurance. So many ways to be responsible. So, if you made a New Year's resolution to be better with money, achieve it at PolicyGenius.com. It's the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. There's zero sales pressure and no hassle, and it's free. Free is the most financially responsible price. Policy Genius. Get your New Year's resolution resolved in 5 minutes. There's no tag about using anything that indicates you heard the Policy Genius read through the Tony Kornheiser podcast.
There should be.
So maybe
our listeners should be able to get a
code, right?
Well, maybe that once they start working with you, you inquire, they say, "Where'd you hear about us?"
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they say, "Policy well, the Tony genius. Kornheiser." Yeah.
Good. Nice job.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Jordan Owens. This is from Chancellor Lawson called You and Me. It'll be available on a new EP coming up this month from an independent movie soundtrack. I know the last time I babbled on about the previous show I listened to, but I've actually got a lot to address, so I'm headed to the mailbag. Okay. I don't know what that means.
I guess he's sending in a separate email to our mailbag.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's making a jingle. Michael, you know, like a mailbag jingle.
Mailbag
if people want to send us their original music, which can be played and heard in its entirety at the end of the podcast, how do they do it?
Please send your music into the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And what are we selling today? We're selling Chatter t-shirts here. This is the only place you can get
Chatter,
them.
Yeah, Chatter t-shirts are in store.
12
here
bucks.
At Chatter.
12 bucks.
And
12
we have
American
some,
dollars.
We have some new Tony Kornheiser Show t-shirts online at shop.tonykornheisershow.com. And the knit hats should be ready soon.
Good. Good, because it's going to get cold again. Nigel, you have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and unfortunately, we're going to start off with some rather grim news.
What?
Binghamton looked to beat up.
Oh no! Did we lose?
UMass Lowell. Yes.
Oh, well, did we lose to UML? Hyphenated schools.
79-71, the final. That is the first win in the American East by UMass Lowell. So now there is a three-way tie at the bottom of the division between Binghamton, UMass Lowell, and Maine.
And we've lost to both of them, so that puts us
you're
below them.
Back where you belong.
DFL. Yeah.
That's a tough way to start the week.
You just say, tough game against UMass.
It's not Lowell. UMass. It's Lowell.
You just UMass, give it a beat. Lowell.
Marcus Camby. Didn't Marcus Camby go there?
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Calipari.
Back no.
In the day. Now, up next, today's the 22nd, so this would be on Wednesday, the 24th.
No, that's wrong.
UMBC, is that not right?
We have a chance against them.
Retrievers.
At
Are
UMBC. Will you be going to that
no.
game?
No.
Yeah, again, it's like the Bailey Court. You don't go to UMBC and just expect
not
to win.
I can't get there on time.
It's not possible.
Would they possibly hold the tip for you?
No, they're not going to hold the tip for me. I saw them win. I saw them beat Loyola. I'm happy
about
that.
Yes, you did. Mr. Tony, we will start off with the Australian Open.
I mean, you started off with Binghamton.
Yes, but now the newscast proper.
It's rough season for the Bearcats.
It is rough season for the Bearcats. We will talk about the men's singles right now.
Djokovic out.
Yeah, Djokovic out.
To a guy I never heard of.
Lost to, hold on, I got his name in front of me. Hyun Chung.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Korean player. He actually played.
Wang Chung, I know.
Everybody knows.
Everybody have fun tonight. he played here at the City Open.
And that's how you would know him.
Yes, I saw him play. He's actually quite good.
Well, he's good enough to beat Djokovic in the Aussie Open.
Beat him in straight sets as well.
Djokovic is done. The dominant years. And Djokovic, young, was dominant.
Absolutely
and,
was.
And that's gone.
Which, by the way, speaks to Federer's incredible greatness.
He
whipped somebody yesterday, straight sets.
Yeah.
More likely to win a tournament, Tiger or Djokovic?
Djokovic more likely to win. Although if Tiger, we don't know yet because we haven't seen Tiger. But in terms of Tiger, Federer, Jordan, Brady, Federer.
Absolutely.
That's Federer.
Absolutely.
So. Yes, Federer and Nadal both in the quarterfinals. They're both playing brilliantly. And one American man left in the tournament.
Query?
No, Tennis Sandgren.
Don't know who. What? What's his
Tennis?
First name?
Tennis Sandgren, yes.
Tennis?
It's not Dennis?
No, it's T-E-N-N-Y-S, Tennis Sandgren.
Why not go all in with the I?
Was he deliberately named by his parents to be a tennis player?
He's named after his great-grandfather who did not play tennis.
Tennis
ball.
And was not from Tennessee. No, I don't know. That's what it says here in his
bio. I've never heard of him.
Is it pronounced tennis?
It's pronounced tennis, yes. Tennis Sandgren. Yes, he also played at the City Open. He's an older player. He's 26.
He's having sort of a late
renaissance in his career, I guess, is what you would say.
It's renaissance.
Renaissance. Thank you very much. And just one American woman left in the tournament, Madison Keys.
She's good.
Yeah, she is quite good. Yes.
She made the finals of the U.S. Open, didn't she?
Yes, she will play Angelique Kerber, who was a former number one. But then once she got number one, then she lost everything after that.
Okay, but she's getting it back.
Yes, she's quite good. Yes. So there's your Australia. I know you're watching this breathlessly.
I have not watched one moment of it.
Did you? No. I know I'm the last person.
I'm sort of
on
like
Earth.
Wilbon. I'm all in on the NBA now.
Yeah, it's all NBA. Caroline Wozniacki is engaged to David Lee.
Yes, the basketball player.
I didn't know
player.
That. He was there.
Yes.
Wow, those kids are going to be great athletes.
Yeah, God. As opposed to her kids with Rory.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that one.
So she is...
She's like 6'2", isn't she? Spirit, is she one of the really tall
ones? She's sort
of
in the spirit of Danica Patrick, that she is engaged or with very high-profile athletes.
Like Nigel.
All the time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rory's house is for sale, the one that he had with her.
I had a brief
with
engagement.
Caroline Wozniacki. Yeah. Where was that house in Florida?
Yep.
Okay.
My
did
only...
we play is that on that course we played on Old Palm?
So, no, this is on the water.
Okay. We were not on the water.
No.
All right. Well,
my only encounter with Ms. Wozniacki, I asked if I could
interview. Beautiful girl.
She's stunningly beautiful.
Beautiful girl.
Very
you
nice
were in
smile.
A flop sweat.
I was completely
your
flopping.
Usual.
Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
People called in. They thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah. I said, excuse me, could I just talk to you for a couple of minutes?
No.
And she smiled and said, no. Of course not. Not to
good.
You.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good.
So try to shake her hand.
And it was hard to blame her. It really was hard to blame her for that.
Again.
So nice
again,
to meet you.
I go back to my Kerry Russell moment. Where Kerry Russell wanted nothing to do with me.
So she found out who you were.
I was a mouth breather, which I am.
Right.
And then she came back and said, whoa, can we take some pictures together?
Right.
That was triumphant. You'll get that someday. Not a chance.
Probably not. No.
Not a chance.
No. I'm hopeful that Anna Kendrick will walk through these
doors
at some
Anna
point.
Kendrick, zero chance. With
Anna,
that.
If you're listening, and I know you do listen, please come to chat.
Big fan of the
We'd
pod.
Love to see you.
Do you know who watches
she
the
might
PTI
be here for the
show?
Breakfast.
I didn't know who this person was.
Who's this?
But apparently she's, you know, a starlet of some consequence. Piper.
Pirabeau? Yeah, sure.
She's a big PTI fan. Piper Pirabeau, big
what
PTI
she,
fan.
What does she think of the pod?
Well, I don't know that she listens to this, but
she like me? Or?
She tweeted out, you know, she hoped I felt better.
Not really, no.
Because she knows I was sneezing and coughing. So that's
how
nice.
That? That is nice. To hockey. I know you're really anxious to talk about hockey.
Rough transition.
Well, buried the lead.
Yeah.
The Vegas Knights. Are they the Golden Knights?
Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights of Las Vegas have the most points.
Until the lawsuit.
Yeah, until the lawsuit
over.
Is played
right.
out. They have more points than anybody else in the NHL with 66, just one more than Tampa Bay, and five more than your Washington Capitals at 61. 66
They
points.
Are an expansion team.
Yes.
If you are an owner in the league and you agreed to the expansion team formula...
Oh, dear.
Excuse me.
Here it goes.
It's happening again.
And now this team is the best team in the league, and your team is not. You're livid at this point. You're saying, we got hoodwinked. This is absurd. This can't. This is how I feel. It cannot happen.
I mean, that's usually expansion teams are 1-15.
They're terrible. They're terrible.
Haven't
but this team was stocked too well.
And haven't we talked about this, that the unnatural advantage that they may have by playing in Las Vegas?
Because everybody else gets hammered.
Yeah, everyone says, oh, look at this. Let's go see a show and do whatever. And, you know, you wake up and you're like, I don't really care about the game.
Was it maybe LT? Was there some story maybe about the Hogs in the 80s?
I don't know.
Sending girls to, like, LT's room late at night or something? I think there's something behind that. But anyways, I'm
just
picturing
he was a happily married man, so I'm not sure that would...
That sort of scene in a... When I say girls, I meant women, because girls with LT, I guess, given his history, would sadly be believable. But, yeah, people go to Vegas and are just...
Well, we talked about this with the potential for, you know... mayhem when the Raiders go to Las Vegas, but you think every football team is so tightly controlled that they won't have
the
any
home
of this.
Team will be fine because
the
they'll learn to live with that.
Right.
Well, the thing about that NHL expansion draft, though, there was a lot of good and expensive players unprotected, so it wasn't like they were getting scrubs.
In most cases, you don't get anybody good.
Right.
They had to agree to a formula, which now I'm certain they regret. What else?
Anybody,
what is that story about the foot?
Anybody missing a foot?
I'm not. I have both my feet.
Just double check.
We'll go to Springfield, Virginia. Police are investigating after a resident found a partially decomposed human foot in a backyard.
Oh, my God.
They called Saturday.
Well, you're not going to find a fully decomposed human foot, so that's sort of a weird description, isn't it?
Yeah. They've searched other yards in the area for other human remains, but found only bones that appear to be from an animal. Doesn't appear to be any recent suspicious activity in the area. Just this foot... That appeared in somebody's backyard.
Sounds like something Chessie would find. Yeah, how did it appear?
Come out of a plane, maybe?
Dog found it, maybe?
What?
Well, maybe it fell out of a plane.
What do you mean?
That happens all the time. That actually happens all the time.
Well, there's the story from up in the Pacific Northwest where the feet keep washing up on shore.
That's right.
And you know this story,
it's like
right?
5 feet have washed on shore in the last year.
It's 13. 13 feet have washed up there.
I said five, so I had it.
What would you do?
You sure this wasn't the water rose in feet?
What if you...
exactly.
Okay, what if your kids said, Dad, come out in the backyard.
There's something.
There's a foot.
Well, there's something out there.
Something is a foot.
What would you do?
Don't know.
Just
don't touch it, kids.
Is that a 911? What are the authorities?
Yes, that's a 911.
That's a 911.
Sure
yeah.
it is.
For sure.
Sure it is. That's crazy. You got anything else, or is that it?
Well, something along those lines. We'll go to Chris's home state,
Connecticut.
Scenic.
Yes. And now, Michael, you got
Drew. How about Wilbon hating the Super Bowl because two I-95?
Couple I-95ers.
Classic I-95 battle.
Not interested in that.
You East Coast types.
There's no intrigue. Eighth Super Bowl for Brady. Who cares?
Yeah. Michael, you've got jury duty tomorrow, right?
I do indeed.
Now,
my civic duty.
I don't know what was going on in this courthouse in Connecticut, but
what city was it?
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay. Oh, that's a big city.
Yeah, big city. As they're about to get underway for the day, court officials said, "Well, something smells in here. What is that?"
Hmm.
So they started looking around, and they found in the public seating area two decapitated chickens that were decorated in silver, green, and gold glitter.
Well, yeah. Which, I mean, if you're going to decapitate a chicken.
There was no immediate indication how the decapitated chickens got there, and the discovery is obviously under investigation. This appears to be something involving Santeria, which is
religion. That's a voodoo thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's to protect a person from being found guilty of a crime. And as the Connecticut Post reports, decapitated chickens have been found outside city courthouses before, but never inside. So this appears to be an alarming trend.
We'll see if we can get on that for tomorrow.
That's a walkout situation if I find that tomorrow.
I think you do walk out. I think that
both feet, though. Yes. The chickens each other.
All right,
other
Old
feet.
Guy Radio, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. Nigel, explain this choice.
On this day in 1959, Buddy Holly made his last recordings in his apartment in Greenwich Village. And this was one of the songs. This, along with Peggy Sue Got Married. This, of course, is Crying, Waiting, Hoping, which ended up being the B-side to Peggy Sue Got Married. He also recorded That's What They Say, What to Do, Learning the Game, and That Makes It Tough.
I know it's an old movie in terms of critical commentary, the Buddy Holly story, and I know that Gary Busey is completely nuts.
But boy, he's great in that.
It's a great movie. The Buddy Holly story is a great movie.
He received an Oscar nomination for that,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah,
I have not
movie.
Seen that.
Oh, it's a great
it.
Movie.
When did it come out?
30 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of his first movies.
Yeah, it's either that or The Shape of Water, so.
I had this discussion with someone who will be nameless, in which I said, did you see this? And I was told, yes. I said, did you like it? It's pretty good. And I said, I don't want to see it. And he said, why? I said, because it's a mute having sex with a fish man, which caused everyone to laugh at that moment. But
that's literally the plot.
There was also a shrug and a concession that is indeed what it was. And he said, you know, it's not actual. It's a fable. And I said, is it a mute having sex with a fish man? And that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
That was
so. It's a fable about a fish man. I thought it was a rip from the headlines.
I don't think it won anything at the SAGs, did it?
It did not.
No,
sad.
Three billboards did very well again.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell won again. Francis McDormand won again, and the movie won.
Yeah, they won for like the
and
best
the movie
cast.
Won, and I was surprised at that.
Yeah.
I get a note from Chris Hosford, who's in charge of the Washington Auto Show, and I do this in terms of public service. The Washington Auto Show, which is a cool thing, if you like cars. It's a cool thing. That starts on Friday, this coming Friday. It's designated one of the nation's top five auto shows by the International Organization of Motor Vehicle Manufacturers. It starts on Friday the 26th. It runs a couple of weeks, well, through Sunday, 10 days. Sunday, February 4th, they'll have more than 650 vehicles from 35 different automakers, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Porsche, Rolls-Royce, Aston Martin, among others. It's at the Convention Center. And to sell it, they also have a bunch of athletes who are signing
autographs.
Yeah, a lot
of personal appearances.
Tom Wilson?
He'll be
there
Wilson.
January 29th.
Tom Wilson. Josh Norman will be signing autographs.
How about that?
Josh Norman. Dave Martinez will be signing autographs. The manager.
New Nats skipper.
Yeah, the manager of the Nats on I don't know what day that is. Thursday night.
I've got a lot of thoughts.
Your boy Otto Porter from Georgetown.
My guy.
On January 31st.
Max Contract.
And he'll be designed. That's, I think that's his nickname, Max Contract.
Yeah.
And he'll be with George Murison. So also.
You buried the lead. George Murison.
In honor of the dedicated service of U.S. troops, even with this furlough, the Washington Auto Show will host Military Tribute Day on Tuesday, January 30th. And that. You get free admission to all active duty military and veterans who present a valid military ID. So I wanted to.
I'm on the website. That. It says nothing about these guests signing autographs.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
just that they'll be there?
You'd think that they would promote that.
It says Josh Norman will be signing autographs. Oh. Otto Porter will sign autographs. No, it says that Nationals manager will be making one of his first public appearances.
Oh, nice.
So maybe he's not signing. But it. That's all about the others.
It's like doing a local radio show again. That's nice.
I played golf
for a little
weekend.
Breakfast.
Well, I have some tickets here. We'll be able to give. I have tickets.
Wow.
I'll be able to give the tickets out. I have four tickets, so I'll be able to give them out. I could get more, I'm sure. But that was, I mean, you know what? That's a local
show.
Yes,
it's a great show.
So what did you do over the weekend when it was warm for the first time? Michael and I played golf Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you guys are the best.
Tony made a 5-foot putt. At a very key moment
to win money
in a match on Saturday on the 23rd hole.
On the 23rd
water, baby.
Hole.
He's Brady.
Primetime players.
And everybody doubted me. And I doubted me.
Of course, right.
I rolled
did you
in
give
it.
A speech afterwards saying no one thought we could win?
No. I said, you can't take that away from me.
That's right. All praise to God.
Michael and I won money. Michael on number 13 at Columbia yesterday missed a hole in one by about a foot.
Nice. By a foot, yes.
Oh.
He was a foot away. On a hole in one.
What you do in that situation is you get up to the green first, you just kick it right in.
No.
That's what I'd do.
Everybody could see it. Michael had four birdies on the back, Chris.
Same.
What do you mean, same?
I was supposed to play golf with my Alan Bubis, Dan Fisher.
Yeah. Who is our ticket to Kiawah.
Yeah, and to Cacique and the river course.
Yes,
in Kiawah.
Yes. Well, no. We're not just going to Kiawah to play have
the
dinner.
Public and play
no.
the public.
No. So
what are we animals?
Yeah. No,
I was supposed to play yesterday at Avenel with him, but I was unavoidably detained in New York City because I was on. I don't know if you know this. I'm a television personality.
I've heard.
And
is that what you
I
do?
Yeah.
And I don't actually
I hear someone laughing. I don't. What's funny about that?
It's the Syracuse people.
It's that Syracuse guy who's here to troll me.
Yeah. You cover the overnight news.
That guy's here every week. And so I got back late from, I was in New York to do TV for Trump's year anniversary Saturday night, and I didn't get back. So I was on the train yesterday, even though it was gorgeous out.
It was gorgeous.
It was very depressing.
Gary, what did you do?
I ran around to indoor lacrosse games and basketball games and soccer practices, you know.
Oh, you're a good parent. Yeah, I get it. Well, I was in New York.
Did you buy a Subaru?
No,
just to
I did
show
not,
that you love your children
did not
more than we do?
Did not do a Subaru.
Nigel, what did you do?
Well, I was working on my panic room I have in my apartment.
Yes.
No, I was still feeling sick, so I spent most of the weekend in.
I was sick too, but
rearranging
but
the heads
I
in the freezer.
That, like Michael will tell you this, we thought that being outdoors,
would
that fresh
you?
Air, didn't you?
Yes, particularly yesterday, walking the golf course, getting out of the fresh air, I think helped.
Oh,
you.
And I was terrible. I couldn't hit the ball at all. I really was lousy.
Was it just the two of you?
No, we played with Jimmy Crilly yesterday and Dave Ward yesterday.
Hmm.
No, it was lovely, but
did you feel better for being out? Because I talked about this to myself all day. Get out. And I was like, no,
yes.
Rest.
Yes.
It looked like you weren't even trying, though. You were hitting the ball along the ground. And when you got to the green, you just swatted the ball at the hole.
And
just said, it's not like we're keeping score.
No stopping. You just putting out in stride.
It was nice. It was just nice. Nice to be out.
I actually did do one thing I would like to thump my chest about.
What?
I did the final work on the children's book that I've been working on for quite some time now. And I sent it off to these people who are going to format it, and it should be ready to
publish. Is this the one that's entitled, You Can Go to Jail for That?
Yes.
This
is
story of Simon the Cat. Right?
Yes, it's Simon the Sea Cat.
Saucy Jack.
It's a true story about a cat on an English warship in 1947. It's a lovely tale, and I've had a lot of fun writing it. And so hopefully I'm going to be ready to publish it.
Do you need a blurb?
I will need a blurb.
I'd be happy to give you a blurb.
I would love a blurb from
right.
you.
Right.
Yes.
Not since Proust.
So true.
Tony Kornheiser.
Remembrance of things past. And
You know, Dan Jenkins, the blurb that he likes to give most of all is Jesus Wept.
Jesus Wept.
It's just such a great blurb. It's
brilliant.
The great
brilliant.
Dan Jenkins.
So, yes.
How did you feel? I thought you played pretty well a couple of days.
Thank
Four
you.
Four
birdies on the back.
Yeah.
I've been working. Played 17 holes because number two is out of commission, and they moved the tees up. This is winter golf.
In the winter,
they're not moving the cups. So I was two over for the 17 holes, but I'm working on speed training. So
same.
The first nine holes, I was swinging as hard as I possibly could and hitting a 50-yard slice into the woods.
So what was interesting?
I always swing as hard as I possibly can.
So it was about on Saturday. We played Army Navy on Saturday, and there are. It's probably true of all golf courses, but in the last few holes we played, it was an area. Now it had to be 60 degrees on Saturday. All the snow is melting.
Yes. It's like it was today. I mean,
60 degrees, but one of the holes we played was still frozen solid.
Just in the shadows all day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Frozen solid, and you almost fell and killed yourself.
Yeah, a few of us in the foursome almost slipped down this mud bank.
Right. The old people were a little more careful.
This was the point where I actually was less focused on the golf and more worried about your physical health.
Yeah. Mm.
So
yeah.
Dad goes out. Most of us are wearing a short sleeve shirt, a vest, maybe a lightweight pullover. Dad goes full on zip up cashmere sweater.
Cashmere.
And is like it's the only wearing way. Thick whale corduroy pants.
Nice. Yeah.
Lillehammer jacket on easy reach.
Never know.
You know.
Right.
I didn't want to.
Michael's right.
Kind of not a cold.
Michael's right. You're like 2 years away from when he comes in the house. The thermostat's on 84. You know.
So
and there's an uncooked roast in the oven.
Dad, slaps the 100 on the counter.
Liz left the boy outside with me. She ran in to get Dad an extra sweater because she was worried about him.
Oh my God.
It turned out to be fun. Going back to what Wilbon said before, and my reaction is completely the other reaction. I have great sadness that the NFL season, as bad as it was, is gone. Because I watch those games.
Yes.
And I understand those games. And it's not like basketball or hockey with an 82-game season just to get to the marathon of the playoffs where you don't feel there's any intrigue. Like college football, you lose twice. That's it. You lose once, there's always jeopardy you're going to lose twice. Pro football, you watch every single game.
It's dramatic.
Now what am I going to watch? Am I going to watch the Winter Olympics where I don't know any of the athletes?
Great
in the
golf over the next 6 weeks.
Well, okay,
big
but
courses.
That's weekend.
But the NFL is great drama. It's unpredictable.
Yes.
Did you see when the Vikings scored, speaking of the Winter Olympics, when they scored their touchdown, they did a curling bit?
Yes,
did
I like that. I like that.
I then spent the next 15 minutes trying to explain to my children what curling
not
is.
As
what
great,
are they doing?
Not as great as the troll of repeatedly doing the skull
thing
that the Eagles were doing.
By the way, I will say this. I love the fact that they put those dog masks on their heads.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I think that's
a great
really
bit.
Cool.
And just walk
and that's
up
Howie
field.
Long's kid.
That's a good bit.
He
yeah, Chris
that.
Long. Yeah.
Howie Long's kid.
Yeah.
You know,
Patriot.
But I feel bad that it's over.
Yeah.
That there's only this one game left, and the game is 2 weeks away, which means, and Mike's wrong about this, we will talk about it today, but we will not talk about it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. We're not going to.
Unless
because it's still over a week away.
Well,
we're not.
The Gronkowski news, if like that comes out later this week, that'll give
well,
you
that's different. That's a news
story. Well, they're not
going
to. Yeah. I mean, they're going to come out today and say he's not playing unless they completely scrambled his brain. But I would expect.
But
him
do you have a Winter Olympics or is that exciting?
Well, Winter
to you?
Olympics feels like, and you know the thing that's amazing is I am old enough to remember when. Like the Australian Open would be something that we would spectate more, but there are no Americans. I used to watch a ton of tennis when it was like Lendl, McEnroe, Connors, Mats Wielander. Like it was a bigger deal. I don't know when tennis became like a top 25 sport as opposed to a top 10 sport, but it's just like people.
It happened in America because of
we
the
don't have anybody
Americans right. and the only. For many, many years, only Serena Williams was worth watching, and you could pick that up in the semis.
Yes.
I mean, Agassi,
there were
legit big American stars that people watched.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
The thing about the Olympics
is... transition to college
it always
now.
Feels...
I guess.
Yeah, Georgetown. Georgetown DePaul, Wednesday night.
There you go.
That's tickets big. Still available.
I'll bet they are.
Yeah. The thing about the Olympics is it's always sort of on, so you can. It's sort of great background, and if you tune in, you're like, all right, let me just get caught up in this match of whatever it is. Pick a side because it's always sort of
what is the drama?
But the problem is
the drama is will North Koreans try to just leap over the wall? and gets shot by their own people.
I also think, by the way, this one is another one of those, like Sochi, where because of the time difference, it is currently, it's I just looked tough. This up, it is currently 10:53 p.m. there. So you're going to know all the results.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just takes
the great thing is we'll be able to talk away. To Barry's Verluga very easily.
Yes.
It'll be at the end of his day.
Yes.
So we're very happy about that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I just, anyway. All right, let's get out of here. Email and jingle when we return.
And a jingle, by the way, about a great round of golf that you had not too long ago.
Really?
Yes. Well, you shot 79?
I shot 79 yesterday by the 11th hole. By the 11th hole.
This is one of your days of glory.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is one of those reads where I'm happy that I'm going to go ahead and read this instead of my father.
Okay.
This is the MeUndies Valentine's Day special.
Oh, there you go.
You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day, right?
Yep.
Then check out MeUndies Matching Pairs, a unique fun gift for you and your Valentine. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit and exciting prints. And probably cuts as well.
Oh.
Don't spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Check out MeUndies.com and find the best match for your match. MeUndies are the most comfortable and fun undies you and your significant other will ever own.
So what if my significant other is Stormy Daniels at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Are we good on that?
Yeah. Sure. Okay, there's good. A match.
Right. Yeah.
That's a match.
They're made from the softest materials on earth. We're talking three times softer than cotton soft. This Valentine's Day, get your partner a gift that's for both of you. Order by February 5th at 10 a.m. for free standard shipping so your gift arrives in time. Matching pairs are a fun, thoughtful, and comfortable gift you can share with your significant other. I'm going to go ahead and offer to those of you sitting around this table, Tony's excluded from this one, I will use the TK Show coffers and get you and your significant other matching underpants with this Valentine's Day special. Aww. If there's any interest.
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking on here, and I do not see a men's thong. And so
talk to me after the show.
Yeah. Maybe
all,
a special.
They all seen a little log.
Yeah, these are all...
So right now,
far too much fabric.
Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive Valentine's Day offer just for Tony's listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase MeUndies matching pairs, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure you'll love their underwear, they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other and 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? Order by February 5th for free standard shipping. To get your 20% off your matching pairs, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/Tony K. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift that you will ever give. Start matching your bottom half to your better half. Go to MeUndies.com/Tony K right now.
That's a good line. Bottom half, better half.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I never thought it would happen with my game. I don't play golf well anymore. And even though it was cold out, I still shot my age. Somehow I carted a 79. 79. No, you didn't hear that wrong. Oh, 79, drained a par 12 feet long. Oh, 79, I love you. 79, thought my forward had a chance. Oh, 79, do you know who I am?
Steve Lipton, who writes, congrats on breaking 80 out on the gold course. It's the short course, like 5,000 yards. I hope to break 80 on an IQ test someday. That's Toto, isn't it?
Isn't that a Toto?
30 out of 30 on a cognitive test.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Wilbon, even though he's disgusted with everything and never surprised for coming on the show. Sponsors today to thank ZipRecruiter, Policy Genius, and MeUndies. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave a review. Brett Belote in Kingsport, Tennessee. Hearing your discussion on the president's medical report makes me think you should invite Brett Musburger on for next year's summary of his physical. And this is, of course, the famous line about Bill Walton over 30 years ago. Big guy. George, Waterbury, Connecticut. Dear Dr. Porthauser, I believe when President Trump states he gets a lot of exercise, you know, this and that.
I believe this and that.
We are all forgetting that he is married to Melania. I believe that would be enough this or that for any of us. Just saying. The notion that his actual quote is, I this, I that.
Yeah.
I walk to the buildings.
I run to the building next door every once in a while. I do Brandon a lot more than you might think.
Kilheffer in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, capital of Pennsylvania. I was wondering if Chatter sells the grease from the grease traps. As a for-profit enterprise, I may have a business opportunity that would interest Chatter ownership. I just need to rent a truck and be in Philly in 2 weeks. It's somewhat shady.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Somewhat shady. Don Hammock, Biloxi, Mississippi. Kids trying and dying doing the Tide Pod challenge. We littles could have saved lives with a simple warning. Swallowing what's on your iPod gets mighty tough sometimes. Eat it, Saliza. Hashtag we kid because we love.
Wait, what did I do?
From Ted
Bystander.
Ted in Indianapolis. If you look at the rise and set times of the sun for Washington, D.C., due to the tilt and the elliptical orbit of the Earth, noon will get later and later until mid-February, then change course in May. Thus, until mid-February, the phenomenon you are witnessing will continue. You will enjoy the gains in the morning from mid-February until May. Okay, because I'm seeing gains only at night. And then again, from July to December, we will lose daylight faster on the sunset side than the sunrise side. The analemma is a graphical representation of the phenomenon you're witnessing, which tracks the sun's position relative to the Earth. Thus, the relative position of the sun to the Earth will influence the sunrise and sunset.
Pipe down, nerd.
This is very, very nice. Yeah.
Takes one to know one.
What?
Okay. This is signed the confused daughter of Lisa Frula. I guess I'll just jump straight into this. For the first time in my entire life, I had a David Aldridge moment. I was listening to the show from Friday the 19th.
That was this past Friday.
All right, yes. And I heard you say that Lisa Frula was a Chatter. Well, I thought to myself, I know her. The reason I know her is because she is my mother. Now, of course, I've heard about freckles. That was all my mother was able to talk about for weeks, but I never expected this. So it all started the day my mom took me to the barn and told me, hurry up, if you're late, I'm leaving you. So I took my time. When she called, I expected her to say that she would arrive any minute and braced myself for the frightful moment because I was far from being done. All I got from the message was, Grace, I'm in the car, donkey. Then she hung up. I thought she was going crazy, but she came back with the story about how she chased a mule around Poolsville, and I thought she made it up. No, she didn't.
100%
bringing littles
true.
Together. Mike Baranek, Columbus, Ohio. There's one and only benefit to the government shutdown. Bagel City still open. Yes.
Yeah.
Out
George
on the pike.
Is not closed.
Yes. Out on the pike. Bill McMahon in Okotie, South Carolina, Michael. In Okotie. That's where Chan and Moni live. Tony is correct that sunset is later than it was on 12/21. On 1/21, it is 27 minutes later in D.C. than on 12/21. The sunrise is 1 minute earlier. Note that the sunset at the same time in 11/21 and 12/21, while the sunrise moved 26 earlier. Note also that the further from the equator one is located, the more extreme the effects are. In Miami, the sun sets 5 minutes later on 12/21 than on 11/21. In Miami, 6/21, the sun is out 3 hours and 7 minutes longer than on 12/21. Yeah. In D.C., it is out 5 hours, 27 minutes longer than on 6/21. In Bangor, Maine, the difference is 7 hours, 7 minutes. So the further north you go, the more pronounced
right.
that is.
Well,
so
I wouldn't
I'm
have
not
guessed
making
five and a half
this
hours.
Up.
No.
I'm not.
Affirmation.
Elliot Olshansky from Comac out on Long Island. A friend of mine in the D.C. area informs me that Dole Cezza is removing from the menu its breakfast sandwich, which includes crispy chicken skin. He was quite annoyed about this, so it occurred to me, if you're still looking for ideas to improve Chatter's business, you could do far worse than adding this item to the breakfast menu. Of course, it could get monotonous and annoying for the kitchen staff. I could just imagine them coming into work and saying, what's that, chicken? Every day it's the, well, you know. Best regards from Suffolk County, where I have one more suggestion for Chuck Todd to try to get to the summit of Mount 500, the Puppy Bowl. He won't make it.
No.
He was 1-1. Jeff Ma was 1-1. The monkey was 1-1. They're not making
it. Chuck lost the East-West Shrine game.
Yeah.
As
well, if you're out on your bike, everyone, do wear white. Thank you all for coming.
Don't do it, Tony.
Don't do it, Tony.
doesn't know just what to say. Here's a list of things I'm gonna do while you're away. Hosing down the driveway, raising up my flag, iron out some wrinkles, empty my right now. I'm hitchhiking to the moon, hitchhiking to the moon. Well, you're still gone, and I think it's gonna snow without you here. The situation, lightening the load, ripping up the hostages like I would Russell Crowe. Cruising down the driveway, raising up my flag, iron out some wrinkles, empty my goodie bag. Go ahead without me, I'll be coming soon. Just me and me, and I'm hitchhiking to the moon, hitchhiking to the moon.
Just refrain.